This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
As one third of the successful folk roots band The Waifs, Joshua Cunningham had everything going for him. ARIA Awards, multi-platinum album sales, and a hectic touring schedule both in Australia and the United States. The sixth album, Temptation, debuted at number 3 on the Australian charts earlier this year. But a few years ago, Josh started to ask the big questions about the meaning of life. Was there more to it than just playing music and having a good time? After returning to the Christian faith of his childhood, Josh has now written and recorded his first solo album, one that shares his journey back to God. Joshua Cunningham, nice to have you with us.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Now, you've been playing music for a long time, haven't you? When did you first pick up a guitar?
Actually, the first instrument I picked up was a ukulele. Mm. And when I was a kid, my family all started getting guitar lessons, but I was too small, so they gave me a uke to keep me feeling like I was part of all the action.
I remember that when I got my first guitar and the hands were too small to actually play it.
Yeah, I think they thought that they were just giving me a toy, something to keep me happy. Well, they did give me a toy, that was the thing. And the teacher said, no, you need to get this kid a real instrument because he's actually has some kind of ability with it. So they got me a proper ukulele, and I think I was about 8 years, 7 or 8 years old at that point. But then it was probably about 5 or 6 years later that I picked up a guitar once I grew into the instrument.
When did you sort of start to take your music a bit more seriously?
Well, I remember being in my high school music class, year 9, year 10, and the music teacher, he pulled me and one of my mates aside and said, what do you guys want to do with music? Because, you know, you can pursue a career in it or you could just keep it as a hobby. And I remember my friend saying, well, I'm happy to do it as a hobby, you know, just do it on the weekends. And I said, no, I want to go all the way with it. I want to pursue it as a career. So probably in my mid-teens is when I knew that was what I really wanted to do in life.
You had a pretty good career with The Waifs, and as I mentioned, you got a few ARIA Awards in the cupboard. What were some of the highlights of that time of just playing and touring with The Waifs?
Well, I think, to me, the biggest highlight is just sharing the experience with the other members of the band. You know, when we first began, it was just Donna, Vicky and myself, and, you know, that was 20 years ago now. You know, we've been a family for that long. We've gone through all these wonderful experiences together, and that's kind of the highlight. You know, the success, you know, with album sales and chart success and whatever is nice, but we already considered ourselves successful long before then, just because we were able to live out a life that we wanted to live, you know, live out our dreams and make a living out of doing that. And we always measured that as success, so anything above and beyond that was just a bonus to us.
Yeah, but you must have learned a lot about music from all those years of touring and recording. What have you taken out of it?
Well, I guess it's the only... I never ended up going to school. You know, after high school, I got accepted into university, and I was going to go and study economics, but, you know, praise God, I never ended up going down that track. So I guess the only schooling that I've had is in, you know, the school of the music industry. Mm. It's the only thing I'm qualified. It's not a formal qualification, obviously, but, you know, just being in that life of touring around, traveling, doing shows, and you know, being in front of people, sharing music, you know, in that kind of setting. I guess, you know, there's a bit of an education in that I've picked up, but I probably didn't realise I was gaining, you know, because not being the front person in the band, you know, I kind of was always taking a bit of a back seat. But since making this album of my own and getting up in front of people and actually, you know, interacting with a crowd and speaking and holding, you know, I don't like to think of it as an audience really so much anymore, because it's more of a ministry that I'm involved in. But, you know, just being able to kind of, you know, be there in front of people and doing that is something that probably I picked up through osmosis, just being involved in that over the years.
Yeah. Let's talk about your faith then. When you were very young, your family were involved in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but you didn't really connect with it back then, did you?
Yeah, I just, you know, I guess a lot of kids that grow up in Christian homes, they actually connect. They have a spiritual, you know, aspect to their life. And to me, it wasn't something that I really had that connection with. It was just something that I kind of had to do, you know, like saying prayers before bedtime and things like that was just part of the routine. And it didn't really feel real to me as a young kid. And then when I got to my teenage years, I kind of just went the way of the world, and music actually became the thing that I worshipped. I guess you could say it was my God. It was the thing that gave me, you know, my sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. And that was kind of my story, and that was really the 20 years from my mid-teens right up until about 5 years ago now.
And Joshua, what got you to thinking about spiritual things as an adult?
I think maybe just getting to a certain age in life is one thing. You know, you get into your 30s, your early 30s, and suddenly there's a big, I guess it's like a psychological barrier. You know, as you approach 30, you think, wow, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm getting closer.
I got to grow up.
You're grown up now. Yeah. And, you know, hitting 30, then you start realizing, well, hey, you know, 30 was a few years ago now. And, you know, maybe I need to start thinking like an adult more. I guess I was just started dwelling on more serious themes, you know, in my mind. And the real thing that I attribute it to was touring around with the Waifs, and probably more so at that time with Missy Higgins. Mm-hmm. I was playing guitar with her, and we were traveling around America a lot. And I found myself just meeting people one after another over the course of a couple of years where, you know, people would pray with me, or they'd just witness to me, give me books to read, share scriptures with me, and, you know, just encourage me spiritually. And at first, I didn't think too much of it, but then as it kept going along in that way, I realized ultimately that it wasn't a coincidence, you know, that God was actually trying to reach me. I came to find, you know, when I shared the experience of becoming converted with my parents, you know, they shared with me that they'd been praying for exactly that for a lot of years, that God would send people, you know, as I'm traveling around playing music, that God would send people into my path, because they obviously, you know, weren't in my immediate life in that sense while I was traveling so much. So I guess they prayed that, you know, in their absence, God would send somebody else to do that job, and that's exactly what he did.
That must have blown you away when you realised that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had many many surprises like that. I guess you never cease to be amazed at the way that God works, you know, and oftentimes it's when you look back in hindsight. Now, at the time, you might not recognise the hand of God moving in your life, but when you look back in hindsight, you can see where he did guide and direct and protect you at different stages of your life.
Was it hard for you, though, to make that commitment? You must have had some realisation that your life was probably about to change in quite a big way.
Well, I think it was so exciting and so new, and, you know, it was just such an incredible experience that I didn't really think ahead like that. I was just in the moment, I guess, you know, just enjoying it and experiencing it and growing. So I didn't really think ahead. I mean, obviously, you know, there were some major changes that kind of had to happen. But at that time, I wasn't really thinking forward to that. It's just more as I went along the journey that those things unfolded.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to Joshua Cunningham. He's one third of the successful folk roots band The Waifs, won many ARIA awards and been really active in the Australian music industry for such a long time, but recently has released his first solo album, Into Tomorrow. Joshua, I just want to, before we move on to talk about your new work, I mean, you've been playing music with Vicky and Donna from The Waves for almost 20 years, and I can only imagine they must be like sisters to you. How have they responded to this change in you?
Well, because, you know, I come from that context of a Christian family, and they've, like, it's not just Donna, Vicky, myself that are family, but our actual extended families are all family. So they're like part of my family as well. So they've been exposed to, you know, the Christian lifestyle through my family largely, because they didn't really have that much of an influence within their own family context. So it wasn't like it was a complete shock to them. Mm-hmm. Because, as you say, we're family, we're supportive of where, you know, different passions come into your life at different times, and, you know, they can see positive changes. So they've never been anything but very gracious and supportive of it, which is, you know, a real blessing.
And how has your faith influenced your songwriting now?
Well, at the moment, and this is probably something that started to become, you know, an issue for The Waifs, because I used to write a lot of the songs in the band, even though I wasn't singing them. A lot of the songs were ones that I composed. And then once I was converted, I really found it, not that I even tried, because I never sat down and specifically, you know, thought out, I'm going to write a song and really set out to do that. It was always just whatever was inspiring me, I'd write about. Mm. So once you become a Christian, obviously your inspiration is really coming from God. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, God and spiritual things all the time. That's what my mind is dwelling on. So when it comes to writing a song, that's what I want to write about. That's what's inspiring me. So I really haven't written anything else, you know, for the last 5 years. There's probably a song here or there that I've written that wasn't, you know, overtly, you know, a Christian or a spiritual song. So the writing style has certainly changed a lot.
And yet you've managed to get those songs onto the Waves albums, and they fit in songs that you've written, like Eternity or Temptation. So it must be quite exciting that you can continue at least to contribute to that.
Yeah, that's a real blessing, you know, to be able to, you know, not just to get those songs on an album, but to be able to, you know, present them to people when the Waves have been touring. You know, we've been doing those songs, you know, before that album Temptation came out. For a couple of years, we would play those songs. We found people really responded to them. Mm. Well, Temptation was a favourite for the band. You know, everyone really enjoyed playing the song. And then when we did it at shows, people would really respond to it as well. They'd come and ask about it afterwards. And it generated a bit of discussion on the chat sites on the internet as well. But yeah, it's just great to be able to do that, because to me it feels like a witness. You know, I remember the first time we ever did the song Temptation was at the Enmore Theatre in Sydney, and you know, we just run through it at soundcheck because it had harmonies in it, so it was a good way to check, you know, our vocal levels. And we'd never actually played the song before, and Donna just kind of impromptu in our encore said, "We're going to do this song," and announced it, and then we did it. I remember this hush just descending over the whole crowd. It had been quite an energetic crowd all night.
I was actually at that show, Joshua.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. It was great.
Talking about it, it was just one of these kind of incredible moments. And I remember, you know, there were family members and friends in the crowd that came back after the show and said, "Wow, you know, that was a really powerful experience, you know, to hear that song." And it continues to be, like, whenever I sing those kind of songs, it always feels, you know, like the Holy Spirit is really speaking through those songs. And I know that, you know, to me, if there's one or two people out there in the audience that hear it and it makes them think about spiritual things or gets them kind of, you know, aligned in that direction, then I feel like it's a positive thing.
Mm. Now, you were married very recently, just in January of this year. Can you tell us a little bit about how you met your wife?
Yeah, well, actually, I had a near marriage experience already prior to that, back in 2008. I mentioned this string of people earlier on that witnessed to me over those couple of years, and it kind of culminated in one particular person who I met on a plane on Thanksgiving back in 2005. Now, it was her witness to me, the circumstances around our meeting and the nature of our meeting, the conversation that we had, that made me realize that God was really trying to reach me. So, you know, that was a pretty powerful experience, and I guess her and I, we probably read more into it. You know, we thought that it was ultimately God's plan that we would be married, and we got into a relationship, and things seemed to be going in that direction. But you know, ultimately, it wasn't to be the case, and we got to within a month of our wedding date and realized that, you know, it wasn't in God's will for us to marry. So we made the difficult but the wise decision of parting ways. Mm. And in the wake of that, I went to a Bible school in California. It was a four-month course where, you know, you're just kind of learning more about, you know, it's a kind of condensed theology course, but then getting out, learning to share your faith and knock on doors and do Bible studies with people. And my wife, Jackie, had the same experience. She was engaged to someone in 2008 as well. That didn't work out. She ended up going to a Bible college as well and got involved in music ministry. And we happened to be at a ministry event in California just a little over a year ago now. And we were both there doing musical duties, and there was a call went up for people to team up in twos or threes and pray for a particular lady. And Jackie and I were sitting just a few seats away, and that was the first time we interacted. We ended up praying together for this lady, who we came to find out just a week or two before our wedding. We learned that she had prayed with Jackie's mum about a week before Jackie and I met. And they'd prayed specifically that God would send Jackie's life partner into her path, you know, soon.
So I'm getting tingles now.
I never cease to be amazed at, you know, those kind of stories. You know, you think of the answer to my parents' prayer that led me to becoming converted, and then also, you know, the answer to that, the prayers of Jackie's parents as well. You know, when you see God work in those ways, I mean, I was completely unaware of that when I met Jackie, but I knew that God was certainly doing something amazing, and you know, come to find that out later, and it's just further confirmation that, you know, that you're in God's will.
Absolutely. I mean, it's obviously been only a short time you've been married, but what have you learned about marriage so far?
Well, I think a lot of the things I learned about marriage, I learned before even getting married, and it was probably from the previous experience that I'd had where I nearly got married. and also from having a solid example of my own parents, you know, a godly marriage and a lot of friends and people that I know who have that kind of marriage as well. And I know that a marriage can only be successful, you know, the extent that we can love another human being really you know, is limited by the degree to which we allow the love of God to really, you know, infect our own heart and our own life. And you know, I know the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12 that a threefold cord is not easily broken. So, you know, I think of that cord as, you know, the relationship of a husband, a wife, and then God as the other strand of that cord woven together, and it makes a strong union. So I think that for me, when I was thinking about marriage, I knew that there had to be a solid spiritual foundation, otherwise it just wouldn't work. And that was what was lacking in the previous relationship. Even though God had brought our lives together, we ultimately didn't have that strong foundation that Jackie and I have, and that's really what makes all the difference.
Mm. And I guess that sounds like the perfect introduction to the song off your solo album called Three Chords, a song really about marriage. How did it come about?
Well, there's an interesting story to this song as well, because I actually, the week before meeting Jackie, I'd been in Tennessee. I had some friends that were getting married, and I went out there. They'd asked me to come and play a song for their wedding. And I felt impressed just a couple of days before going out there that I should write a song for them. So I just prayed and asked for inspiration, and then I just sat down and started playing, and this song came out. Then I went and played it for this wedding, and then on my way home, I went to the ministry event that I was just talking about, where I met Jackie, and
yeah.
I had no idea that, you know, having just written that song, that 6 months, it was literally just, you know, a little over 6 months later, I'd be singing that at my own wedding. And yeah, I mean, I actually ended up singing that song at about four or five other weddings of friends from the time I wrote it to the time that we got married. And obviously there was no more significant or meaningful setting to sing it in than my own wedding.
Mm. I'm sure it will make an appearance at many other weddings as well, Joshua. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Oh, it's been nice to talk to you.
That's Joshua Cunningham. He played the live music scene in Australia and the US for years as One Third of the Waves. He's just released his first solo Christian album. It's called Into Tomorrow. You can find out more about his music ministry at joshcunningham.com. And right now this is Three Chords, sung with his wife Jackie on Hope 103.2.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.